miss church. And I said, I'm glad you missed church, amen. So when you get done, come on home, amen. So I saw a sign outside Great Falls where we live. It says, it's the last person out of Great Falls, turn the lights off. That was Friday night I saw that. So it seemed like that's just about what we're doing. But, you know, Jesus, I want to just pull him apart a little bit. Jesus took time. I took him in the mountains, took him into the desert, just to be quiet, it's good to take you out the ballpark, amen, and stop and smell the roses. I told my buddy, Pastor Rudy Smith, who just lost his wife, didn't lose her, she went to heaven. I said to Rudy and I said, no, slow down and just smell the roses. Enjoy your people. Today I did that. I went over and stopped in people's house, just stopped in and had some Pepsi with them and had some tea and just stopped, sat down, talked, sat out in a glider, I guess they call it, and sat out there and talked, ate some tomatoes, and I said, you know what would be better than this? Some real mayonnaise and soft white bread, amen, and big old sliced tomato, amen. How many like that? Yeah, all right. Now, I hope I whet your appetite. Here we go. Revelation chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore which sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman is arrayed in purple and scarlet colors, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into the perdition, as they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads and the seven mountains, the seven heads are the seven mountains which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he openeth, when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he that is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of hosts, King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdoms unto the beast, until the word of God shall be fulfilled. And the women, and the woman which thou sawest in that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. May God have the blessing of the word of God, as he always does. You may be seated. Father in heaven, tonight I pray we'd look into this portion of scripture. It would certainly remind us of things that are to come. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have a true Christianity, that we know beyond a shadow of doubt, according to your precious book, that you are God. You are the great Lamb. You are the Almighty. In all things, you are the head of everything. Lord God, you are our Creator, but you're also the lover of our souls. Lord, help us to understand these things and trust you, that we know that you'll always be with us and you will never leave us, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us in Revelation two places, it tells us that God said, I will bless you if you listen to the Word of God, if you read Revelation and you keep Revelation. He says, I promise to bless it. He did that two times. There's a significant order in the Scriptures, Revelation chapter 1. And has to do with the past. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 has to do with today, which we're living through. And remember, we had the seven churches of Asia Minor, we talked about it. Then from chapter 4 on, that's where God calls us saints home. And boy, I'm looking for that, amen. One man said, every time he hears a horn honk, he gets on his tiptoes, he's ready to go, amen. Somebody said that Gabriel's in heaven right now, licking his lips, can't wait to blow that trumpet, amen. And we have so much to be thankful for. You know, the things that are going on in this world today. I was very upset. Unfortunately, I was listening to my radio while I was driving my car, and they said that someone had tipped over, I don't know, 20 some graves knocked over, and the tombstones at a city. And that really upsets me. That shows to me. I thought, yeah, there you go. No respect. They're not even respect of the dead people anymore. And no respect at all. And no more than they said that, and then they came on and said they had just done, and I forget what state it was, had just put up a 6-foot granite Ten Commandments, beautiful black granite, and someone, the day after they did it, ran into it with a car and completely obliterated it on the state capitol. And just reminding me of the hatred that we're seeing today towards Christianity. We all know the scripture teaches his time is short, and so he's going to be really, you know, Satan's going to be really after us and really trying everything he can to destroy us and take things away from us. As we look in this, you read your newspaper, it's like reading Ezekiel, it's like reading Daniel, it's like reading Revelation. The craziest things that are happening today. I talked to someone who's pretty in the know. He was telling me how that things are really heating up again in our service, and more men are going to be, they're trying to get more men in, and they're going to be sending a lot more out. And you know, I don't know about you, but my heart goes out to that. And I pray for our men and women that God has. And I want to thank you. I just met a young man today. In 3 weeks, he's going to the Army. I shook his hand. I said, I'm proud of you, man. 18 years old. And he said, I want to get in the infantry. And I won't tell you what he wanted to kill. But anyway, it's exciting to see that there are still people that still believe that we ought to fight for the rights of humanity, and we ought to fight what's good. So when you read the scriptures and you start reading this in Revelation chapter 17, it's talking about the false religion, religions that are completely off the mark of what God intended Christianity to be. And so I want you to look at that today. We read several times thus far about the coming destruction of Babylon. And chapter 17 is that destruction. We find in Babylon mentioned in chapter 17 represents all forms of false religion. Revelation chapter 1, chapter 7, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, And I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. According to Scripture, a bad woman in the Bible invariably symbolizes some kind of false religion. And the woman is what we call the anti-bride of Christ. And those who claim salvation by a man-made religion, that compose this harlot, this anti-bride, she is called a whore because she is guilty of spiritual adultery. The word whore in this verse means harlot or prostitute. It's associated with selling one's purity. Two things that are implied here. First, those who teach salvation by works. You can't work your way to salvation. If you can work your way to salvation, why in the world did the Lord Jesus Christ lay down His life and die on the cross, suffer such terrible things? He was God, and if you can do more than He can, I'm really surprised. I'd like to see you start healing the lame and raising the dead and feeding the 5,000, the 4,000. I'd like to see us do some of that stuff. And you can't. And there are so many people that are so, and I think you touched on that about the hope. They have no hope. A lot of kids that grow up in the Roman Catholic Church, they still have that embedded way back in their mind. You got to do something. You talk to people about Jesus Christ, and they'll say, well, maybe I didn't say the prayer right. Maybe I didn't do it just right. Well, maybe I was thinking about something else. Jesus said, for whosoever shall confess Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, ask Him to forgive your sins, come into your heart, believe that He died on the cross, rose on the third day, He says, you're saved. And there's no, you know, and there's different ways. Different things that are going on in salvation for a lot of people. It's just like a marriage. You know, I've held a lot of weddings, and sometimes the bride will come forward and she's giggling and laughing. There's something on the YouTube. It's the funniest thing. This girl starts laughing because the pastor's be your wonderful waffle wife, and she went waffle. How many have seen that? That is, you got to look it up. It is the funniest thing, and she just. Belly who's laugh. I mean, and her poor spouse, he's trying to, and the pastor's mad. You can tell he's not impressed with this. It's funny, man. Let it happen, preacher. It's okay. We had one guy fall off the platform here one time. It laughed, you know. And I said something because it was funny. When I was in college, and my speech teacher said, if something happens, mention it and get on because people already know about it. And the kid's father, the groom's father, was speaking to the bride and groom, and man, that kid fall off there. Well, my boy, he's standing there too, and he just about to bust a gut, you know. And I went, you know, you can't help but do it, you know. It's pretty funny, and I said, boy, preacher, that's good preaching. And he didn't think it was funny, but anyway, I did. Yeah, enjoy it. So there's some just laugh, then there's some cry. And I'm wondering, does she know what she's getting into? Why is she crying up here? She was streaming down, amen. So, yeah. But salvation, it affects a lot of people different ways. But one way it does affect you, that your name is written in the book of life. And no matter you're laughing or stone just flat out, so serious, other people giggle and laugh. Man, I tell you, I've had people lead people to Jesus. They're so tickled. So the other day, I preached a funeral for a man, the old guy, and he was the boyfriend of this lady that they were living in the rest home together, and he's over there in the corner crying. He said, "I'll never see her again. I'll never see her again. I'll never see her again." He's 87 or 85, and I said, "Hey," I said. I waited till all was gone. I talked to him a little bit. I said, you know, I says, did you pray that prayer that I prayed during the invitation at the funeral that you could see her again? He said, yes, I did. I said, well, according to God's word, you're going to see her again. Boy, he got happy. Amen. He got happy. So salvation is a wonderful thing in our hearts and our lives. But when you start trying to put stuff with it and put stickers and crowns and everything with it, you're just getting things in the way. So make sure you understand that this when you get saved, the Bible tells us that we are saved. He said, these things have I written unto you that may know that ye have eternal life. That's God promised you, and that's that hope you're talking about. If you don't have the hope, you're the most miserable person in the world. Just if you don't have a hope. I remember I was 22 years old, married, had a little baby boy, wasn't sure I was saved. Craziest thing. I'd grown up in a good church, went to a good Bible college, but something hit me. And you know what it was, brother? I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't in the Word of God. I told that preacher. He said, I know what's wrong. I said, I haven't been reading my Bible like I should. And I'm not getting fed. And I'll tell you what, if you don't get fed, boy, you're a target for the devil. He wants to sift you and wants to destroy you. So read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. Well, there's two things that implied here. First of all, they teach the work of salvation. And secondly, those who change the spirit, change for spiritual service. You will notice that she was sitting on many waters. And verse 15 explains that. In other words, she is in the universe. Whosoever she is, she covers the earth. And people know all about her. There's nothing better than a good woman. Nothing better than a good woman. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more wonderful to see a lady that loves her husband. And I thank God for Julie. She cuts my wife's hair and my hair comes over to our house. That's pretty nice. And, you know, Brother Jason, I'll tell you what, your wife loves you to death. Oh, my goodness. She was just spouting out, telling all wonderful things you are and everything. I said, are you talking about Jason? No. But there's nothing more sweeter and precious than, you know, I've been around ladies that talk bad about their husbands. And that's bad. You go to God and tell God all about it. Don't you tell other people about it. And I'll tell you what, you start telling people about it, they're not going to feel sorry for you. They're going to start feeling sorry for him. Just thought I'd help you out down there. There's nothing better than a good woman, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than a bad woman. They can really ruin a lot of things in life. So ladies, may I encourage you to be a good lady. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him with a wonderful, happy, thanksgiving heart. Amen. So we can apply this spiritually. There is nothing better than a part of the bride of Christ. There's nothing wonderful than people that serve in God and excited about serving God. But I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than false religion. Boy, that's the most damnable thing in the whole world is false religion. I talk to some folks that are wrapped up in that Jehovah's Witnesses. They have nothing to do with Jehovah, and they're a witness of the devil. I'll tell you right now. And I cringe when I talk to, I was at a meeting, I took some classes last week, and a man said, I'm with the church. I never heard him say, a Mormon say that before, but he said, I'm with the church of something, something. And I went, and then all of a sudden I said, oh, you're a Mormon. And he said, yeah. So nice, but so deceived. Sad. By the way, 3/5 of all Mormons at one time were Baptists. That's the last percentage I heard. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk in the wine of her fornication. She is guilty of fornication with the kings of the earth. This religion, hence, is a state religion. You'll find a lot of across the world. There's a certain religion that this country says. This is what, when you go to Norway. Norway is Lutheran. That's their state religion. I went to with my wife and I went to Norway, and while we were there, we went to the Lutheran church, and they said, "Well, we're glad to have you here today." Through an interpreter, and says, our pastor's not here. He is on a 6-week vacation. And I said, wow, really? Oh, yeah. He has to go on vacation. It is, or he'll be excommunicated. 6 weeks. And then they bring new preachers in from their seminaries, and then they preach there for a while and bring in people. And then he said, and then I started asking questions about finances. Good night. So, oh yeah, the country of Norway pays them their salary and their benefits and their health insurance. And pays them their retirement, and said, yeah, the pastors are probably the most richest people in Norway. So I applied. No, I didn't. The religion, hence, is the state religion, not believing the separation of church and state. We believe in the separation of church and state. The state is not going to tell me what to preach. If you go to Canada tonight, and you say anything about homosexual, and you're going to jail. Canada. That's just 120 miles north of here. Now, I'll tell you what, it wasn't for the election where America's heading there that way. You ought to thank God that what's going on right now, and you pray for our president. You pray that God helps him and guides him. Amen. I know he's not perfect. And by the way, if you checked out lately, neither are you. All right. Chapter 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw the woman sit on a scarlet-covered beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman is sitting on the beast. You will find explanation over in chapter 13 and verse 1. The Antichrist and the revived Roman Empire. You will remember that there was to come one of the following the Antichrist and pointing him and called the false prophet. Could it be that this false prophet is a leader of religion which rides the beast? I'm not sure. Interesting. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. The woman, as you can tell, is wealthy. Religion can afford purple and scarlet and gold and precious stones and pearls. That's wealthy. Hence, she has the prettiest buildings, more elaborate furnishings. She reminds us of the church at Laodicea, you read there in chapter 2 and 3. You know, you can search the Bible and find invariably that God's people are simple and humble people who do not have usually much of the world's goods. There's a cup in her hand, even though outwardly she is beautiful. Her cup is full of abomination and filthiness. This religion is abomination in the sight of God. God hates that religion. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. Let's see her name. First of all, her name is Babylon the Great. And if you were in my Sunday school class Sunday, we spoke on Genesis chapter 11. It's been a symbol of false religion throughout all ages. Babylon means confusion. In Genesis 10 Genesis 11, Nimrod led the building of the tower of the city in order to unify false religions. It's called the Tower of Babel. For the days until this, God has associated false religion with the term Babylon or Babel. Even today, the National Council of Churches, Federal Council of Churches, and the World Council of Churches, all trying to build that Tower of Babel. 4 things about the Tower of Babel. Number 1 is man-made religion. Number 2, it had false unity. Number 3, the earthly city is a center. And number 4, it is earthly represented from heaven. In other words, one man was over it. The mother of harlots. Many people for years have called it the Roman Catholic Church. It is the mother of most great denominations. A child is one who comes from the body of his mother. Most of the great denominations came out of the Roman Catholicism. The child usually favors its mother. Hence, the children of Catholicism, even though they are the even thought of their lady herself, such as sprinkling, having centralized denominational leadership, and baptizing babies, and on and on. These are all came from the Roman Catholicism. There was a day when there was two great divides, the Catholics and the true believers. Some of y'all have not been through some of that stuff. I remember when I was younger that, boy, when President Kennedy got in, that was a wow in America, because he was the first Roman Catholic to become the president. And many of the people on the right were afraid that he would bring, that the Roman Catholic Church would rule him to rule America. And they didn't want to do that. That's kind of foreign to some of you people. If you ever read The Trail of Blood, read all the things that the Roman Catholic Church did. My family from Switzerland fled Switzerland because of Roman Catholicism. And the hidden barns, and finally got on a ship and got out of there and came to America. And if you read some of the terrible things that they did to these people, and there's always people say, well, you're from the Reformation. I'm not from the Reformation. We have the God-given Christianity, came through Jesus Christ, and then we have the World Church, which is Catholic, means World Church, Universal Church, and we do not subscribe to their tenets. We don't believe that you ought to baptize your baby to get it in heaven. We don't believe you that you need to have a godfather and a godmother. We believe that it's responsibility of us to live by the Word of God. And people say, well, you're bashing them. No, I'm just telling you that this is the way it is. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. If you've got a person that believes that you've got to go through Mary to get your prayers answered, you ought to have a problem with that. Scripture says it is Jesus, Jesus only. You go to Jesus. You go to God through Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. That's why we always pray that. But you'll hear them tell them about how that they got to, you know, and then they talk about their confessionals. And you have to go to confessional and confess your sins to the priest. Well, God gave us the priesthood of believers. We go to God by ourselves. He tells us that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy. God gives us the opportunity that we can go and serve God in the way we serve God. And He gave us the independent Baptist churches. We are governed by ourselves. There's no Pope over us. But you'll see, like the Methodist Church, they have their bishop, and he'll tell pastors, you got to move from there to go there. The same way the Presbyterian, many churches are like that. They have a hierarchy. Tell them what to do. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Show me where that says in the Bible. And it doesn't. And so as independent Baptist people believe that, number one, you get saved through Jesus Christ only. It is through His blood. It's nothing we've done. It's all that He has done. And we receive the precious gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is for us. So when you see all these different religions, and all of them are trying to say, I ran into the guy today, he said, well, you know, we're all trying to get to the same place. That's what he said. He said, I don't see nothing about anybody else. Whatever. You know, there's a point you just don't argue with them. Adios, amigo, you know. But there is a difference. There is a choice that a man ought to make. He ought to serve God with all his heart, with all his soul, all his mind, all his strength, and give our lives to the Lord. So, the mother of harlots, Roman Catholic Church, the mother of most great of all the great denominations. You'll hear the Reformation. They like Luther, he came out. He nailed his 95 theses in the city of Worms, and said these are the things that the Roman Catholic Church is against, and this is the things that God is for. But he never came out. Never completely came out. And someday there will be a simple thing to it. There will be the federation of all one body, the Babylonian. and then there will be the Bible believers. Do you believe God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Or do you believe what people say? Well, this is what it says to the spectacle, the theologians, and this is how you ought to believe. Well, that's why God gave us this Bible. And you read it. One man told me, he says, you know, I was a nothing. I read through this Bible, and there could be only one way. And he said, I became an independent Baptist. And by the way, Baptist did not save you. Just because you went to Baptist church doesn't save you. It's through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, it says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered in great admiration. You will notice that this religion is also guilty of murder, cold-blooded murder. Reformation stuff, they'd take these preachers that preach the Word of God. They call us double dunkers, amen. People get baptized in a certain church, but the Baptist, when a man gets saved, then he follows the Lord in believers' baptism, amen. And they call them double dunkers. And they would tie men on a pole and put them down the river and then bring them up just before they drown and say, renounce the way you believe. And many men die like that. You've seen on some people being burned to death over in Iraq and Iran, the Christians. I just saw a deal about in Africa where they were burning these old gentlemen, beating them and throwing them in a ditch and burning them. You know why they did that? Because they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's happening today. We don't know it, man. We're so excited about our life and going on vacation. There's people literally dying and burning for their cause of Jesus Christ. So let's be more, I guess, careful about what we do. We'll all be praying for these people that are martyred. She kills the saints. Through the centuries, Roman Catholicism had killing the true believers when she got, and by the way, she got into the government, and so she got away with it. First, she takes over the states or government, and then she forces herself in the state religion, persecutes others. And you see some of the stuff that was going on lately, and you see how that can happen. Well, it's 8:31. Let's close. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be more vigilant.